I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP 102 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results. Standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP102weightloss.com. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our Redskins beat reporter for 106.7 The Fan, Craig Hoffman. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, boys. How are you?
What's up, man? C. Hoff. So instead of talking about the draft or talking about minicamp, we're going to talk about this Redskins cheerleader situation that came to light after the New York Times published an article about a Costa Rica trip. Tell us kind of just give us a summary of what was going on back in 2013 in Costa Rica.
Sure. So this is all according to reporting from the New York Times. And the story essentially says that on the 2013 calendar shoot, Redskins cheerleaders were accompanied by sponsors and suite holders, and that during that shoot, they were asked to pose topless. And while the pictures may have been covered, as they were on set, they are topless. And now all of a sudden, these sponsors and suite holders, all men, are standing around and essentially watching. There was one point where one of the cheerleaders in the story said that her and her friends were around another cheerleader essentially as a human shield as she was trying to change, and the men were looking on. That night after the shoot, 9 of the 36 cheerleaders that were on the trip were asked by the team to escort these suite holders and sponsors to a nightclub, essentially as escorts. They said there was no sex involved, but they were asked to go to this club. When they walked in, it was empty and kind of weird. And it wasn't mandatory, but it was mandatory, if you will.
Right, and there's also a guy who's featured in the article, Mr. Teal, who's a longtime Redskins suite holder, who also had kind of a yacht party. Now, it wasn't a sex boat party, and he says he's got five sisters, so he always treats women with respect. But can you kind of fill us in on that?
Sure. That part of the story is basically what you said is the short version, that it was a party on his yacht, and this was up here in the D.C. area, and that cheerleaders were invited and were, that one seemed like it was kind of, they could pick their own level, if you will, like, okay, you're on the boat, and then if you would like to make more money, you can dance and take tequila shots or whatever shots out of turkey basters and just almost your movie scene crazy yacht party, and that this was encouraged and facilitated by the team, through the team, that this party was organized.
Now, a couple other things that kind of were revealed in this New York Times article, which, you know, maybe some people are aware of, but a lot of people probably aren't aware of, is generally speaking, the cheerleaders, they're paid $75 a game. And when they went to this photo shoot in Costa Rica, sure, the hotel was taken care of and the travel was taken care of, but they weren't paid at all.
Right. Not only were they not paid, they had to actually buy the swimsuits that they were modeling for the calendar shoot. So they were not compensated for their time, and they had to pay to be a part of the shoot, even if they did get the flight and hotel, which is obviously, if you look at them as employees, which we should because they are, then that's not how business travel works. When I go to a place to cover a game, Sure, I've bought the suit I might wear, but that's not the part of my job that I'm doing. That's not the equipment I need. The microphones and recorders and laptop that I bring, my equipment for the job is paid for. I'm paid for my time based on my salary. Any expenses are reimbursed as long as I don't break the rules and go to a place that costs $1,000 for dinner. So the business travel, and this is exactly how we should look at this because they are employees, is not that the rules of what governs that, both by norms and potentially by employment law, were not followed.
So the story says the cheerleaders were required to pose topless. Did any of the cheerleaders just refuse to do it?
Not. That's one of the things that we don't know yet, Jason. And so we submitted
a... I don't even believe that, by the way. I don't believe that a company would say you have to pose topless with a bunch of sponsors around.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, I don't even believe that. I'm sure it happened and there was pressure, but to say it was required... Yeah.
Right. Well,
that's
the question, Eric, is what is the line of mandatory, right? So they could say, all right, now we want you to take your swimsuit top off and, you know, the photographer is essentially instructing them to do that based off instructions he has of what the shots that the team wants, that whatever wants. And then the question, I guess, is answered by what happens if any particular girl says no, I'm not doing that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so in that way, that was one of the questions that we asked as a follow-up, you know, because in the story, the director of the cheer squad said none of this was mandatory. Even going to the nightclub was mandatory. But by what definition are we considering mandatory? If they had said no, are they sent back to the hotel? Are they no longer a part of the shoot? Are they not on the calendar?
Right.
And then what is... Do you then say that is mandatory? In that way, it is an argument of semantics. Clearly, there was pressure and a system of how things were done at play that encouraged them to follow what they were being told, whether they were comfortable or not, according to the reporting in the story and according to these girls that are quoted in the story. But in terms of what the policy was, that's a question that the team declined to answer when we followed up.
We're joined by Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter, talking about this story in the New York Times, revealing some embarrassing details of a Costa Rica trip for the cheerleaders. Now, who were the Redskins officials involved with the trip?
Right. So there were two officials that we know of that were named in the story. One is named Lon Rosenberg. The other is Dennis Green. Green is the head of suite sales. And the VP or the president of business for the organization. So he is the one that is over all the suite holders that were there. He's the one who helps organize that. His department helps organize that. Rosenberg is the senior VP of operations. So I'm not exactly sure what his role would be in regards to either the suite holders, the sponsors, or maybe perhaps he was the senior VP over the cheerleaders. That was another question that we asked that was not answered, was what is in regards to the cheerleaders and the decisions that were made on this trip in terms of what they were doing and who got access to them. What was the power structure beyond the director of the cheerleaders who was named in the story? And that again, is a question that the team declined to answer.
Craig, what sort of ripple effect do you envision happening with other teams after they see this story in the New York Times? Because if I'm an NFL owner, say I'm Shad Khan in Jacksonville, and I see the fallout from this, I'm going to go to my PR staff and my lieutenants and say, you know what? Maybe the cheerleaders, the juice isn't worth the squeeze here as far as the liability and exposure we may have, as far as what sort of bottom line element do they bring to our team? What sort of ripple effect do we see from this story?
You know, Kegs, I think that is something you could see. I think you could see teams just go. It's essentially take a and I'm not in as a reporter right now. I'm not projecting this. I'm just saying that this could be the thought. We might take an extremely liberal view of this and go, it's 2018, we're not objectifying these women, if that's indeed what you think this is. Obviously, women get into NFL cheerleading positions because it is the commercial peak of dance. And so these are the girls that have danced in high school and college for their college and high school dance teams and now want to do it on a professional level in a public setting. And this is the outlet to do so. And so if the teams determine, though, that it is not worth whatever liability could come, you could see them eliminated. The other thing, though, that you could see on the other side, not as extreme, is negotiations between teams and the organizations. And, you know, this is a part of a bigger story that's happening right now, where two cheerleaders are suing the league, one a former Bengals, I believe, the other a former Dolphins cheerleader. And these women and their lawyer have said, we'll settle for $1 if we get a four-hour meeting with Roger Goodell to discuss some of these workplace issues that we see. Mm-hmm. And so if there is a chance to correct some of this and keep what has been an institution in the league, I think that could be an alternative as well. But for now, it's going to be team by team. And, you know, the way the Redskins have responded so far, I don't know how much change is going to happen here, because they've denied parts of this and said, and look, I'm not saying that they're wrong. If perhaps these women embellished or whatever, it's our reporting. We haven't been able to find out these answers yet. So I'm trying to play this down the middle either way. But as of right now here, it doesn't look like much is going to change.
Here's the bottom line, I think, for a lot of Skins fans. And this is just sort of cynical. It is what it is. Skins fans want to – I mean, it's terrible. You don't want ever for girls to be pressured in a situation like this, right? It's appalling. But, unfortunately, Skins fans, what do they mostly care about? They just want to see Bruce or Dan somehow, like, lose their positions because of this.
Right.
And that's not going to happen here. This is not the smoking gun that's going to get Bruce Allen fired, unfortunately. Mm-mm. It might get some other guys fired, and maybe deservedly so. But this is not –
Bruce gets fired if they go 4-12, but it's not because
fired, hopefully.
It's not because cheerleaders are claiming.
But
they
it's
had
not
to take
because
their
of
tops
this.
Off. Right.
That's the bottom line, in my opinion.
Well, and here's the other thing, Craig. I mean, I know the story says required, and I don't know what's true, what's not. There's two sides to every story, but it's one thing to say, "Hey, you have to take your top off for this photo shoot, or you're fired." And it's another thing to say, "Hey, you know what? Would you mind taking the top off just for a couple of photos to spice it up a little bit?"
But even that's creepy.
It is, but there's a fine. There's definitely a line between those two requests.
Well, they also said some of the women were naked but had body paint. Mm-hmm. And the creepy part of it is, if it's just a photographer and the women, it's one thing. It's that there were these suite holders,
of course,
and just a bunch of dudes just staring at
right.
The whole
so part of this,
horny old men.
Part of this, guys, is the expectation, right? And if the women were told going in, this is what the job is going to entail, these are going to be the shots, and this is the atmosphere you're going to be in, and they agreed, and then, I mean, even if they got cold feet, that's their right. They can go like, you know what, this is really uncomfortable, I don't want to do this. And I would hope that, you know, that the people in charge would then honor that, their comfort level. But I think when you compare it to, say, other team employees, like the players who change in a locker room, and there are reporters of both sexes and genders present, then the expectation is known. So, you know, if a player doesn't want to change in the locker room, you know, he could, in theory, go find a stall, or he could change before we come in there, and the female reporters that are in there as well, or they understand that, you know, this is what it is. There's also rules in place so that, you know, there's nothing too embarrassing that happens, a.k.a. someone getting caught on camera. The Redskins are extraordinarily strict about not doing interviews while a guy, you know, for television, while guys don't have their shirts on, and they're very cognizant of what is going on behind. So they try to get these guys right in front of their lockers. That way there's no one caught on the side. So, like, there are rules and regulations in place for other team employees, other public-facing team employees, to limit exposure. And I know it's not a necessarily direct apples to apples, but, like, if you can take that kind of consideration for your players and their employees, I think that it is reasonable for these women to expect some kind of similar policy. And that's again, why we asked what the policy is. We asked how this was set up, you know, who can essentially purchase access and how that is done, what kind of access could be purchased, what are the parameters of these agreements. These are all questions that we asked and didn't. And I'm not saying this to grandstand and to say, like, oh, look at us, capital J journalists, trying to get answers. I'm saying this merely because these are the right questions. These are the things that we want to know to create a better understanding about this situation And it is things that the team, instead of replying specifically or providing someone who could answer these questions, simply said, our statement in the New York Times will serve as our answer to these questions, even though the statement in the New York Times answered absolutely none of our questions.
Well, the one thing you know about the Redskins is they're not going to give you straight answers.
They're a bunch of terrible people.
And I think the fuzzy line is the mandatory versus pressure, because Stephanie Jajokian, who was the director of the cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm. And still is, by the way.
She says that it was not mandatory, but you can see, you know, young girls who their dream is to become a cheerleader get taken advantage of. They get paid $75 per game.
Some of the OTAs aren't mandatory, but they're pretty mandatory.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
But I'm telling you, the bottom line is Skins fans want to use this as an opportunity to pounce on Bruce and get Bruce fired over this. This is not going to get Bruce fired.
No, of course not.
This will get maybe Mike Green fired or whatever the guy's name is.
Right. Dennis Green. So here would be the...
Not going to get Bruce fired.
If this is the tip of the iceberg and there is a deep-seated, deep-rooted organizational problem
that involves
misogyny and sexism and things like that, I'm a reporter, Jason. I'm saying because we don't have any stories or anything that's on the record published, at least as of yet. And I'm not necessarily saying that there's one coming in, you know, 10 minutes. I'm just saying there's been nothing else that has come out to this point in time. Then you could see organizational change. And I think the average decent person would say you should see organizational change for those reasons, not because of 4-12 seasons or botched this or botched that or winning off the field press conferences or anything like that. But if inside that organization on either the football or the business side or the combination of both, there has been a system of oppression that has been developed because of the personalities there, that's a different story. For right now, we have this one story, and I'd imagine only the people named and involved could potentially be in trouble. But even then, I think we kind of need more information and to see, you know, some of the facts are disputed by not only the team and the director in the story, but current cheerleaders who have said, you know, this is not how this happened. I don't know what our recollections are very different. So I think there's a lot more fact finding and digging that needs to happen. We're working on it. Hopefully we'll have more as the day goes.
All right. Thank you, Craig. It's Craig Hoffman, the Redskins beat reporter. Definitely an embarrassing story for the Redskins organization. Remember, a little bit later, Alan May joins us as we talk Caps Pens Game 4 right here on the Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I get so sized. I was driving around last night. I was just listening to the old Backspin channel. They now changed it. I think they changed the branding of it, at least for now. They're calling it Rock the Bells.
It's LL's channel.
Yeah, and I was just listening to all this old school hip hop. I just get sized.
But yeah, but
trying to learn my daughter.
They're playing some different tunes now than they were when it was.
They've
Backspin.
Opened up the playlist a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not as big of a fan of Rock the Bells as I was Backspin.
I still
but
like
maybe
it.
It'll grow on me.
This is just butt catchy and fun. It's not any great song or anything. It's just a butt catchy fun song. Play a little louder for me, please.
Why do you like it so much?
I don't know. It just makes me happy. Come on, louder.
I like It's Your Birthday better.
You like Fitty?
I like Fitty's better.
Come on, hold up. A little louder. Come on. Louder.
Turn up your phones, dum-dum.
Come on, man. That doesn't make you bop your head?
I mean, no, a little
I just
bit.
Love not that song.
A little bit, but I like
Very
birthday
appropriate
better.
After the Redskin cheerleader story.
Different artist.
Can you do me a favor and just play birthday?
Maybe that's what they were playing for the cheerleaders.
Can you just play birthday for me real quick?
What do you want?
Play 50 Cent birthday.
If the Redskins had any sense
just
of humor, which I know they don't.
He wants to play his dumb song. You can play my dumb song.
I requested it yesterday.
The 2019 Redskins calendar should be shot in Central PA, and every Redskins cheerleader should be wearing an Amish dress or a full-length winter coat.
From here on out.
Showing no skin whatsoever. Now, I know that won't happen because all the Redskins want is for this story to go away. Right. They don't want to give it more legs.
I hope it stays around for years, this story.
Well, to me, the thing that jumps out at me the most, and my wife
anything
was
to make them look bad.
My wife was a Redskin cheerleader, I think, in 2003 or 2004. And they get paid $75. We paid our junkettes more than that.
I mean, it's a pittance.
Yeah. But they I don't know why a girl would do it.
They know that women are desperate to be cheerleaders for NFL teams.
So you get associated with it. You get appearances.
They don't have to pay them $500 per game. If they're willing to do it for $75 or $100, that's what they're going to pay them.
Are they underpaid? Yes, but they don't have to do
it. I was talking to her about this. Now, she traveled to 10 countries. She was only a cheerleader for a year.
Yeah, so you get to travel.
And she was overseas.
That's cool.
They get to see the troops. They do charity work and all those sort of things. But still, at the end of the day, couldn't the Redskins afford to pay them? I don't know. $300
per game. Of course they could afford
it.
It's not about their benevolence.
She would talk about what a nightmare it was on game days because they did have weight restrictions and you'd have to get on a scale on game day. And it was like a whole thing.
I know as of a few years ago they still had to do that. I don't know if that's still today in 2018, if that's the case.
The article said that there were weight restrictions.
Yeah.
You got my song about these?
Yeah.
You know, hopefully those things change.
Just play it. Who cares what they're talking
about? The big topic of the show, and we started at 6 o'clock.
I'm sorry, this is a
great song. Great song.
It's just a better song.
Okay.
Isn't it?
I'm not going to argue.
Are you agreeing with me?
Maybe.
Better song, better artist.
Just a silly beat.
No, Nelly is underappreciated. He has just fun songs. I'm going to say some great rap.
Okay, even you, and you hate rap, you even like this song.
Hate is a strong word. This song is pretty good.
Yeah.
I love this song. Love it. I love your shirt, though. Where'd you get that?
My wife got it for me for our anniversary.
That was the anniversary?
She got me a Bullets t-shirt? My wife knows me. She got me a Bullets tee. She got me a Wizards polo and a Caps polo.
Nice. Isn't that hilarious?
Where'd she get it?
Good.
I don't know. Fanatics.
Like the only thing
that would have made better is a six-pack of
beer. He's like a grown man. Yeah. And it's funny.
A Caps polo.
I don't need anything extravagant for my anniversary.
You're a simple man. You're a simple man.
Perfect. Perfect.
I don't want anything for my
anniversary. T-shirt.
Thank you.
I love it.
I would have told her to send it back. I don't want anything.
Yeah, you just don't like to spend money, though. Right?
I mean, you're gonna have a platinum coffin, and I'm not, because you're saving all your money.
Believe me, I'm not saving it all. It's going somewhere. It's just not going to catch pullovers.
I think you might be saving it.
All right, it is open line Thursday.
It's under his pillow.
Your chance to steer the show at 800-636-1067. If you want to chime in on the cheerleader scandal, you can. But, of course, we open up the show talking about the biggest topic in D.C. sports right now, and that's Caps-Pens Game 4, and in particular, Tom Wilson being suspended by the NHL for 3 games. A lot of people were calling earlier saying it was a screw job by the NHL. Conspiracy. They want the Pens to advance.
Hard to be believed
so they
that, by the
three
way.
Games. Mm. If you want to go with that angle, you can at 800-636-1067. I felt at the time, right when I saw it, whether or not it was a penalty, that he was going to be suspended. And then the fact that the guy was injured, even though that's not supposed to factor into the equation. When it happens in the NFL, when it happens in the NBA, when it happens to other sports, I'm sorry, subliminally or subconsciously, the people that are making decisions see a guy who's out for the series, right? The guy that's got the broken jaw.
Oh, he's done for the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, he's done until
next
year.
He's got a broken jaw. He's got a concussion. They see that.
Well,
and that,
they said
that,
it factored
that,
in.
That factored
they
in.
They said it did. They said there were two mitigating factors.
You know what else he could have done? Yeah. You know what else he could have? He could have gotten out of the way. Because if you look at the replays, he clearly didn't make one move to get out of Tom Wilson's way. He did not try to avoid the contact whatsoever.
I mean, you're making me defend Pittsburgh Penguins players. You saw replays in slow-mo.
Yes.
At full speed, you can't get out of the way of that. Okay. He's on skates.
He made no effort whatsoever to avoid
the
contact.
Now it's the Pens players' fault.
Part of it's on him.
Oh.
It's not. It's not part of your responsibility when you're playing to protect yourself.
I'm just saying there's not enough time to protect yourself.
Sure there is.
If I punch you in the face as part of the responsibility of
you. Yeah, if I just go and cheap shot you.
Part of my responsibility is to protect myself.
That sounds ridiculous.
If I see you about to punch me in the face, I'm not just going to keep my hands down by my side. I'm going to make some sort of move.
Sometimes you can't
either
react.
Get out of your way.
Of course you can't
or
react.
Avoid the punch.
It's a preposterous statement.
Part of it is on Aston Green.
It's asinine that he's saying that.
He has to be responsible for his own safety on the ice.
Right.
And that is not coming from me being a full-on Caps mark.
I'm just not
going
to take my whole thing is I'm not going to take on this woe is me Caps fan attitude today. I refuse to do it. When I heard it bummed me out, but I said that's all right. They could still win the series.
If it was Ovi, I think, woe is me. It's Tom Wilson. He's not the MVP of the team. He's a good player.
Very good player.
And he's been a big part of their
wins. Big part of the team. They're better with him.
I mean,
but they can still win.
What's his plus minus? I don't know his plus minus. Where does he rank in plus minus?
Well, people's plus minuses sometimes are not that impressive.
Well, stats don't lie. Let me see what they are.
I think that stat can be misleading.
I'm just saying he's good.
You could be on a tail end of a shift. And
I think he's better. I think he's better than just a fine player.
He's a fine player.
I think he's important.
He's a critical part of the team. But
and
you
again,
still
it's one
him.
Thing if you only lose him for one, but to lose him for three,
you know
that could be
critical?
Massive.
Carson Wentz, he was critical, and the Eagles won Super Bowl without him. You can overcome these.
Well,
things.
Obviously, their team was better than
we have a good
what
team.
We thought they were.
We have a good team. We can overcome. Look,
part of the playoffs in physical sports, whether it's the NFL or the NHL, is. You're going to lose some guys along the way. And this is a three-game suspension. We just saw the Penguins without a couple of their guys in games one and two. Malkin came back in game three. You have to be deep enough to overcome these setbacks. Burakovsky's been out. Who knows if he'll ever come back.
Let's see what the trickle-down is for the three games and whatever sub they use, whether it's Boyd or who's the other guy?
Gersich.
Or whoever it is. Let's see what the trickle-down is.
Well, I think the big thing is who steps up into that first line, whether it's TJ Oshie or Smith-Pelly. I think those guys are more than capable.
Yeah, they are. And they're going to have to dig a little deeper. And I think it might take away a little subconscious letting off the gas that sometimes occurs because you feel like, oh, we got our game. We're good here. We're free-rolling here. No. You got to pedal the metal. Everyone has to step up. We're not at full strength here. We got to dig deeper than we ever have before, and I think it could work in their favor.
Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Lines. Open line Thursday, your chance to steer the show.
Let's go to Kevin Woodbridge. Kevin, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I don't know if you remember last week, right before the Wednesday, before the first game, I called in. I'm a Pens fan, and I said Caps in six this year because I just thought Pittsburgh couldn't mentally focus. And they had too many injuries. And, part of that discussion was it was about the first couple minutes and last couple minutes of the series. And if you see where Caps are scoring a lot of goals, that's where it's happening. As far as the injuries and what's going on with Wilson, I still think Caps win in six, even with Wilson out, unless Pittsburgh gets Hagelin back. People don't realize how important Hagelin is. It's going to be a huge impact to the Caps not having Wilson because – I can't stand Wilson. I think he's a goon, but he's got a lot more quality to his play than just being a headhunter, which he absolutely is. And the reason that he got three games instead of just one or two is it's cumulative. You got the play earlier in the year. You got the play earlier in the season playoffs against Columbus. And then you got back-to-back games with a Penguin player. And on this one, the way the NHL looks at it when they do the review is if they have any question at all about whether the shoulder or the head was impacted first, they go to the injury. And there's no way that you can start the impact at the shoulder and hit a guy in the jaw and still crush his jaw like that. The jaw has to be the initial impact. And that's why the NHL went with three games, and it's partially because they're trying to settle the series down before they get somebody even more seriously hurt than what happened to Ashton Reese. And I don't think it matters for either team this year, and I said this last week, because I think whoever comes out of the Boston-Tampa series is healthy enough and has so much speed right now, neither the Caps or the Pens are moving on, because there's something wrong with Kessel, too. You can tell he just doesn't have the step that he had even the last series. I don't know if he pulled a groin or what.
Thank you, Kevin.
That'll be a buzzkill if we beat the Penguins, and then we just run into a buzzsaw. And whoever,
right? Either Bruins
Boston
or the Lightning.
Yeah, that'll suck.
I believe Tampa is up 2-1.
2-1.
Yeah, because they won. Didn't they win last night? Yeah, they won last night.
I'm kind of thinking subconscious. I'll be honest with you. This is what I'm subconsciously sort of thinking. Is that? Oh, I'm actively thinking this. If they get through the Penguins, they're going to burst through this whole wall thing, and they're going to do it.
You think they're going to win the Stanley Cup
if
they
beat
the
Penguins? I feel like they're just going to explode through. But
see, I don't have that, so I can't take that leap yet.
I don't know anything about Tampa, but when I listen
neither
to
do I.
I know when I listen to people who do,
yeah.
Tampa is apparently really, really good.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. And I'm sure they're right,
so
not me.
I'm not
me.
Making that leap either.
I'm sure they're right, not me. I'm just telling you how I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, all right.
Let's go to Chris in Darnestown. Chris, what's up?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey.
What's up?
Wanna talk about next man up. Let's move forward. I think DSP's the best fit to get in on that line with Ovi because what I've seen in the past is Obi, when he doesn't have a guy like Wilson around him, is going to be a little more physical. He's great at that. But we need him on his game, putting the biscuit in the basket. You know what I mean? DSP could take some of the load off there. He's not as big as Wilson, but he's solid, and he's very aggressive down in the offensive end. So I think Verano's got to stay where he's at, and let's put DSP in there and let him step up and get the job done. And we got to keep that physicality in the game. I don't even want to touch that last caller. I disagreed with about 90% of what he was saying. But let's look forward. And JP, I agree with you. I think we can get through Pittsburgh. We can do well in the finals. I think we match up better against Boston than Tampa Bay. The Tampa Bay is too closely in style to me to the Penguins. You know, they got that faster style. They got a lot of smaller, younger, faster players. And I agree. I think we can get through the Pens here, and I'd like to see Caps Bruins.
DSP not as tall as Wilson, but I think he goes about 6 feet tall, 220. Wilson's about 225, 4 inches taller. Mm-hmm. Smith-Pelly's a handful. I mean, he's a guy that's going to hit you left and right. So maybe
he's feisty.
Maybe he is that guy to put on that top line
tonight. He's feisty.
All right, we'll come back, take more of your calls at 800-636-1067. Remember, Alan May will join us, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us in about an hour. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington on an open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show, talk about whatever you want. Jason mentioned earlier, big sports day.
Big.
You got golf today. I have no idea what tournament it is, but apparently Tiger Woods is back playing.
Fargo, yeah,
Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo Championship.
Quail Hollow, 12:50 tee time.
Down
Patrick
Charlotte,
Reed.
North
I have no idea where Quail Hollow is. I've heard of it. What state?
To North Carolina.
He has a PGA there last year.
12:50 Tiger Woods, Patrick Reed.
The winner gets a bunch of fake checking and savings accounts from Wells Fargo.
Nice.
Yeah, next hour, we'll talk about the redesign of the course.
So you have that. I'm sure we will. You have a Nats day game, and they've been on a four-game winning streak. Bryce Harper has hit leadoff the last two games, and has homered in both games. Now, he didn't homer as a leadoff hitter in the first game, but he did yesterday. Matt Adams has also hit home runs in the last couple of games.
By the way, on the Tiger deal, just quickly, I believe this is one of the few courses where he's missed the cut twice at this event. So,
yep.
Watch out. He's won here, but he's also missed the cut there twice before, too. It's that's a challenging
because,
track for
that's
him.
Because it's rated as, if it's not the toughest course on tour, it's one of the top five.
So it's no, like it's Gary no Woodland had a good round.
It's a very tight course. You got a lot of rough, tight fairways.
Working with new irons.
Got the new irons.
First week, he's dialing in the TaylorMades.
Yep. So you've got that going on early. You've got the Nats playing at 1 o'clock. And then you have early NBA basketball. The Raptors-Cavs play game two. The Cavs stole game one in Toronto. They didn't have a lead the entire game until overtime, and they get the win. Toronto had a couple of gimmies where they could have won the game. Valanciunas missed the tip-in. DeRozan missed the tip-in.
They outplayed him.
Van Vliet.
Yeah.
Missed a couple of potential game-winning jumpers. So huge game for the Raptors. You have the Celtics. In game two, they won game one of their series with the Sixers. And then, of course, you got the Caps.
Well,
and the Caps
all that other stuff pales in comparison to the Caps.
Well, you saved the best for last.
It just pales.
And so you certainly could chime in on that. Looks like the lines are locked and loaded. Let's go right to the phones.
All right. I see Ryan the Bellman there. I know once we go to Ryan, we won't go to anyone else. So I'm going to make him wait for a minute or two.
Okay.
So we can bang out a couple of the other calls. But Ryan's going to give us.
Usually has pretty. It was also the same. It's the same name as a popular 60s band.
And it's also, we're in one of them right now, and there are four of them every year.
Right. Hmm. We just moved into one.
Right.
We just shifted from one to the next.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, let's go to gotcha. Andrew in Stafford. Andrew, what's up?
Morning, Jerkies. How you doing?
Hey, doing great.
On the Wilson thing, this is something I don't know if anybody mentioned, or I don't even know if it's possible from an NHL standpoint and the league rules and stuff, but, I mean, he's got to appeal this if he can, right? He can't just take a three-game hit.
Cakes is saying that there's no appeals
now, I've read that on Twitter.
Process. I don't know if that's true or not.
I've read that on Twitter last night, so, I mean, you have to consider the source.
It must be true
if it's on Twitter.
Yeah. That's true.
All right. Go with it.
Well, I hope
believe something else on Twitter the other day.
I'm sure. Right, I'm sure I've been duped on Twitter
before. I'm going to ask Jeeves.
Yeah,
what else, Andrew?
If he can appeal, God, I hope he does. I mean, there's no way to take three games lying down. You figure he'll lose get one game knocked off and miss one game at each building is sort of like a
more of a slap
on the wrist. But
all right, thank you, Andrew. We'll find out for sure. But I thought Cakes' initial instinct was right that there is no appeal in the NHL. I don't know. Seems like there should be.
You would think.
I'm tired of.
You would think that the Players Association.
I'm tired of whining about it.
Yeah, he's not playing tonight.
He's not playing. It is what it is. He's out. You're gonna have to step up. They can do it. They can still win. It's okay. Let's go to Josh at Stafford. Josh, what's up?
Hey guys. You know, I'm a huge Caps fan, and Scott Stevens was my favorite player. So I love the hit, but he broke the guy's jaw, and I knew he was going to get suspended. But when Cakes and Lurch were arguing earlier about whether he could have avoided it, I was watching the Winnipeg Nashville game, and Dustin Byfuglien's about 6'6", 265, and he was about to kill Victor Arvidsson, and the dude just dropped to the ice. It was the same sort of thing, skating up the ice, saw him, and just dropped. So I don't want to blame the guy, but he could have avoided it.
No, he could.
Of course he could have avoided
it. Yes, he can't. Google it. I'm telling you. Look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, but it's a totally different situation. It's a totally different player. I mean, you don't know what the reaction time of that
kid
is.
Find the video, Drabby, and then bring it in here during a break. Let's see if we can see that.
I'm looking for...
let's go to Ryan, Centerville, quickly. Then I got to go to Ryan in Beverly Hills. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Ryan.
I just want to talk about totally a little unrelated, but related to Nashville. I was just down there last weekend, so I wanted to give Lurch some tips. He's got to go down there. It's absolutely money.
Well, I'm sure it is, but it's also like going to New York City.
It also costs a lot of money, so he doesn't want to do it.
All right, let's go.
He already gave his wife the gift, the piece of paper.
Yeah, he gave it
the gift. But I'll be honest, my wife spends too much money. I mean, I don't have enough for vacations. You should see our credit card bills every month.
Isn't she like restoring furniture all the time? How's the business going?
Not enough.
Is the business going well?
Not obviously not.
Let's go. Ryan.
Well, I wouldn't be complaining about the credit card bills.
Ryan, what's up, my friend? How are you? Do like I do. Don't even look at him. I don't even look at him.
Well, who's going to pay him if I don't look at him?
Make her pay him. I make her pay him.
Oh, come on. She hasn't paid a bill in 19
years.
It's
your money. You paid for it.
Ryan, what's up?
What's up, boys? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey.
Listen, first things first. Talked to Kevin at the hotel the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He does not get psyched for you guys playing him off with the music. he says it's a hacky bit and that you guys stole it from Howard Stern. Is this true?
I don't believe Kevin would say that, first and foremost.
All right.
And we did
tomorrow.
Not steal it from Howard that I know of.
Did he say that or not?
I swear to God.
I'm
sure he did. By the way,
I don't know if we stole it from Stern.
Non sequitur.
What? A walk-up song?
Walk-off.
No,
we play them off.
That we play
I'm sure
off
people don't
Oscars.
Get played off in 10 million
I,
other
honestly,
shows.
Honestly, I think that was just a Valdez thing.
Yeah, because I'm silly.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I know that Stern does that now, but I think Valdez and the kind of
I assumed it was his own idea.
Yeah.
Non sequitur, finally, I asked Jeeves and I got an answer. It says, at least according to this article, players may appeal all on-ice discipline to the commissioner, provided written notice of the appeal is provided within 48 hours.
Oh.
Then the commissioner will endeavor to hear all appeals on an expedited basis.
That takes forever. That takes forever.
So Twitter may have been wrong for the first time.
All right, what do you got for us, Ryan? We only got a couple minutes here.
Listen, real quick, I'm out of the story business. I can't do it. I'm done.
Why? Are you getting in trouble?
It's just hitting too close to home. There's been some instances, been some
blowback,
little stuff. Yeah, a little blowback behind the scenes stuff. I can't do it. I will tell you, I did see Cato Kalin at the grocery store the other day.
That's
the best you got.
Cato stinks. I want the Britney Spears
you
stuff.
You are dumpster diving.
You're about to get played off here, right?
You have us Cato and Kevin.
How
does Kevin carry himself? Does he care himself as a cocky guy now that he's, you know, interviewing all these celebrities? Have you noticed a change over the years?
Honestly, I swear to God, I haven't seen one change. He seems very down to earth.
Okay.
He seems very grateful for his success. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a change in him. I love him. He's one of my I love what he checks in. I see him like three times a month.
He's in all the time.
Hey Ryan, you still got the hot concierge that works there?
We got a couple now.
I bet.
So
yeah.
Ridiculous.
Really? Oh, so many smoke shows.
Hey, what story did you talk about that came back to haunt you?
I can't talk.
You can't
about
even
it.
Go
really?
There.
Really?
I've been pulled aside And it's just, yeah, it's a, it wasn't a good situation. I got a mortgage. I can't,
so
I can't be risking this.
You've had management talk to you about some of the stories that surfaced on the air.
All right, tell us this. Who's the last, but you don't have to tell us a story about it. Who's the last or the biggest name celeb that's checked in the last, I don't know, 2 weeks?
I don't know. I forget.
Oh,
I forget.
You can't say that either.
Jane Fonda.
I think Ryan might be.
This might
being
be
played off.
This might be your last appearance on the Junks.
I mean, love Ryan, but
this might be it.
This might be the swan song.
Ryan, the forever Bellman.
Yes, go ahead.
Have you talked to Dykstra since that night?
Have you been texting with Lenny?
I have texted him. No, it's been a long time. Probably. So that was what, 2 summers ago. Was that 2 summers ago?
Yeah.
It was a while ago.
I'm going to say we texted back and forth a couple times maybe in that fall, but I have not talked to him since that year, no.
Right. Is your intrigue over with that because you did it? You hung out with
him? I ever went back out there, I would try and reach out to him.
You would do it again?
Oh, absolutely.
You would?
Ryan, I mean, tell these boys how much fun that was that night.
No, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And believe me, we could have had more fun.
I'm sure. You guys are restrained.
We could have had more fun.
Right.
I got to tell you, I was a little nervous.
Sorry, it wasn't my decision, Ryan.
What a tragedy this is. I mean, I love Ryan, but if he's not going to spill the beans about, you know, Britney Spears checking into the hotel.
I'm going to give you some truth serum right now. Did you steal the playing off bit from Stern?
No. I remember we started it during the Oscars.
Yes. Everybody kind of did it around the same time.
Right, we just been going with it.
Because that's a running thing that the Oscars...
Well, have you heard Stern do it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I've heard
I have,
Stern.
But
is it the same song?
No, it's different.
No, but I honestly believe that we did it first.
We started flushing callers in 1996. We played a toilet flush to get them off. It's just morphed over the years.
No, but this is completely
toilet
different.
Flush to
and
gas
it was based
face.
On it was based on the Oscars.
Right? It was around the Oscar
yes.
bit.
Yes.
It was yeah. It's the same idea. But
I think Fred Norris listens to the show and then steals some of my drops.
Right. It could be. All right. Real quick, let's go to Ryan.
He's your inspiration.
Ryan, what's up, buddy? We had 3 Ryans today.
First time caller.
What's up, man?
But I want to talk about some stats with you. Wilson right now is the Caps leading leading plus minus player for the Caps.
In the postseason.
In the postseason play right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Wilson's a lot more of a all-around dynamic player this season for us in the playoffs than in previous seasons. The big loss for us with him is especially on the penalty kill where he
right.
is a huge aspect. But I just want to make that point, and thanks for taking my call.
All right,
good
thank
job, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. You got through there. Yeah, his plus minus is 7, but like Brooks Orpik, who everyone kills, is 6.
What is
he's
Ovi's?
Second.
Ovi's like
1.
Yeah, because a lot of times he scores,
well,
but then Crosby scores.
Yeah, but they're on the ice more, too. I mean, he's on the ice more
I'm
than
telling you, the
Wilson.
Plus minus thing, also, you can be skating off and somebody scores and whores you.
Okay, well, in a short series, I think it says more than in a long season. He's their fifth leading scorer. Put it that way. He's their fifth leading scorer in the postseason.
I still need somebody to explain Corsi to me. I hear it all the time. My brain instantly freezes over. I need to call Neil Greenberg.
All right. Phone number is 800-636-1067. Remember, Alan May is going to join us at 840 to give us his take on Game 4 tonight between the Caps and the Pens.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.